Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11, and then ending with verse 1 of chapter 6. Hebrews 5, verse 11 through 6, verse 1. Concerning Him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the music that we've been able to sing, the song that Heather sang about walking with you and talking to you, and that you hear us, you listen to us when we commit ourselves to walking with you and growing. And thank you for eggs and the ways in which we can illustrate life and growth through these simple illustrations. Bless us, we pray, as we seek to grow in Jesus today. Amen. Well, my little illustration fell here, and that's all right. It's not breakable. But I have someone this last week gave me a Lego Jesus. I didn't know that one existed. And that caused me to get on the internet. And you can even get a passion scene with Legos, with Roman soldiers and swords and the cross and Jesus on the cross, and supposedly it can help young people illustrate and connect. Well, Legos are fascinating little toys, are they not? Anybody here like to play with Legos? All right. I see adult hands going up. I see kids' hands going up. But this is a picture here of the Lego Jesus that I have in my hand. And so I thought to myself, well, Legos, boy, they have the bigger Legos for children with motor skills or aren't totally developed. And then they have the smaller ones. And they have all different levels of Legos. They have the simple ones that you get in a little bag, and you can put them together in a few moments, and you got a little figure. And then they have the complex ones. And it doesn't matter what age you are, there's something about putting them together. But I kind of sense that this helps me understand a little bit about growth. Because I have a son in my home who is, it's hard to get into his room because of all the Legos. And not only does he put together individual ones like this, the simple ones that most anybody could put together, but there are Legos there that are put together by 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 parts. So the skill level for putting together Legos changes depending on what it is that you're putting together. He's also learned that you can buy these big kits and take out the little people that are hard to find and assemble them in sub-kits and sell them for hundreds of dollars. Yes. I also know of somebody else in our village family that has every Lego set that has been produced in the attic. Well, that says something. But anyway, the idea of one little building block on another building block on another building block until you have a whole figure or structure or whatever that might be. So I think about the book of Hebrews and the focus that we have here for this morning on the need to grow. Growing spiritually, growing morally, growing to maturity, to where we become like Jesus. I have a unique privilege and challenge pastoring in this community. Number one, with a little bit of trepidation, I have worship with K through 4 children. Sometimes in the kindergarten class, first grade, second grade, third grade. And with similar unease and trepidation, I also read papers and give presentations to PhDs. And I relate to people in every spectrum in between. I have the privilege of leading people to Jesus for their first time and exploring the Word of God in very elementary and basic ways. And I also have the privilege of relating to seasoned men and women who have journeyed in the Word and have journeyed in faith. And I have the privilege of relating to people in the spectrum in between. Now, when I'm relating to K through 4 for worship, I immediately think of stories and illustrations. And I usually bring a bag full of things to show and to illustrate. And I put my biggest, widest eyes on and my biggest movements to create some energy. And as I tell that story, because I know that issues of attention and attention span and finding that hook to anchor an idea on that they will remember a while afterwards, and they may even come up to you weeks later and say, "Hey, I saw this bird," or "Hey, I did that." When I'm reading a paper to a group of scholars whose minds I know are very focused and can handle information a lot faster and better than myself, then I ratchet up my vocabulary. I'm not so simple. I'm not so basic. I ratchet up my vocabulary and I use buzzwords that everybody knows what they are because it saves time in a document where 3/4 of the page is a footnote. And I have waited patiently while someone has tried to find the book in the Bible that the lesson took us to, and even longer for them to find the verse. And I have waited as they've tried to wrestle with its meaning. And I've also interacted with men and women who know their Bible and have read, and their hearts and their minds are full and of the spirit of prophecy, and their minds are going back and forth, and we engage, and we don't have to look up and read all the verse because these things are in our minds and we're engaging back and forth, and I am moved and I'm stirred and I'm awed at both levels of learning. And I relate to people in every spectrum in between. When I look at a kindergartner, I ask myself, what do I expect at the end of kindergarten, that first year in kindergarten? If by the time they reach eighth grade, they are still doing the things that they did in kindergarten, I would raise some questions. I would ask about the teaching, the quality of the teachers. But I might also ask about the student. two things about that student. One part about the student is their capacity. Maybe you read on CNN or heard on CNN this last week that a mother abandoned her daughter in a bar. She opened the door, pushed her daughter in, and then drove a couple states away. Her daughter was 19 years old, an adult. The police said there's no way in which the mother is going to be held accountable for abandoning her daughter. Her daughter is severely disabled and has a vocabulary only of 40 to 50 words. And so her capacity to grow and develop further is minimal. And so you can ask the question of capacity. And is a person grown in that context? Or if they have a larger capacity and they are staying here rather than advancing, what does that say about the person? And so we are not talking about childlike faith. We're talking about childish faith, or the lack of growth, or the need to grow. Notice how our text today has some simple, basic beginning ideas to it. The kindergarten stuff. Elementary principles of Scripture. The text says the elementary principles of the oracles of God, which are the Scriptures. Elementary things. There are basic things in the Scriptures that speak to all generations, all people, and can resonate no matter where a person might be on the spectrum of growth. Praise God for the elementary principles of His Scripture. The simple things that can bring assurance and peace and great hope in our lives. Amen? Then there are the elementary teachings about Christ. That's right. There are some basic, elementary, down-to-earth, simple things about Jesus that everybody should know. But you know, in our world today, many people don't even know some of the basics about Jesus. All they hear about Jesus is in words of cursing from relatives or friends or contemporary culture. So there are elementary things about Jesus, and then there is spiritual moral infancy. Right? In other words, individuals have not grown, they have not advanced, even though they have the capacity to do so. And I could add one more word to the here, to this list, and that would be milk. Right? Milk. These are words that our text refers to in terms of simple, basic beginnings. And some of the basic things within that framework of beginnings, the text goes on to outline there in chapter 6, and those basic things include discussion about repentance from dead works, discussions about faith in God, baptism, the laying on of hands, resurrection and judgment. I was talking to a young adult this week, and I don't know how it was, but our conversation gravitated to the difference between what we know about and what we experience. And I found myself coming to this verse, and I said, you know, we know about, we can talk about faith, and we can talk about repentance. But it's a total different thing to actually have yielded your heart to Jesus Christ, yielded your heart to God in confession and repentance. Total different thing. Now, we think we know and fully understand what baptism is about, and the laying on of hands. And if I could expand on what the meaning of the laying on of hands in Hebrews is, we really don't know what that means. It might be referring to ordination or spiritual gifts. And by the way, this phrase, laying on of hands, is so simple, but yet so profound that our whole church at this point right now, every division, funneling into the General Conference at some point in the next 2 years, is exploring the whole question of what does it mean to lay on of hands What does it mean to ordain? What is the biblical teaching and principle? In February, I sat in the car with a division president, and he asked me for 2 hours what I thought and what I believed about laying on of hands. I hadn't thought about it very much. So both of us were doing a lot of thinking on the spot with our Bibles open. So on the one hand, very simple, true, basic, but yet a breadth and a depth to it that is incredible. But I want us to see also that there are some simple, basic things about Jesus also. And the implication is if you stay on the simple, basic things about Jesus, your faith is going to be in jeopardy. You can't discard these basic, simple things about Jesus, but there is the need to understand the depth of that simplicity even more. That's why our text will talk about deeper, advanced, and mature things. That begins with the idea of solid food. We got excited when our firstborn transitioned from baby food to solid food. That's an accomplishment, isn't it? It's good for us to have solid food. And Hebrews, when it is exploring the struggles that we have as human beings, the challenges of life, and the pressures of culture, and the temptation to let go of Jesus, it is telling us we don't need milk. We need solid food. Solid food is what is going to enable us. I think of those Cliff protein bars that I carry with me when I travel. There is so much packed in one of those bars, I can go 6 or 7 hours on a bar. Now, solid food. There's stuff packed in there, all right? Then you have experienced and skilled in the Scriptures. The phrase in the Bible here is unaccustomed to the word of righteousness or accustomed to the word of righteousness. And so there is experience and skill in the word of God. And we've all been around individuals who have that skill. And we've been around individuals who don't have that skill. And sometimes we've questioned our own abilities. And then you have the issue of faculties trained to discern good and evil. That somehow the inner moral compass, all right, when I turn my iPhone on, the compass of my iPhone on, it twirls around. It twirls around until it finds the North Pole. Sometimes it'll tell me I need to go outside so it can get a bearing. But for us to have our inner faculties, our inner moral conscience so oriented to Christ and who He is and what He's doing for us, that we will always point north. This is what the Bible says. This is what moral life is about. This is what spiritual maturity, the direction that it will take me. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. See, this is maturity. And then the idea of being a teacher. Because the verse says, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you have come to need someone again to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And so maturity has the idea that you come to the place where you can teach someone else. You can mentor someone else in their spiritual journey. You can be a discipler. It makes me think of my niece. She just graduated from the 6th grade. And she's been blessed and she has used what God has given her to the place where the school asked if she would tutor some 3rd graders. She logged in 39 hours of tutoring from April through the end of May. Every student that she tutored passed their tests, made it through to the end of the 3rd grade. That's what God wants us to experience. To know Jesus so well. To have grown in Him so deeply that we can turn around and share Him with someone else. That is what spiritual and moral maturity is about. Now, our verse tells us here in 11, it says, concerning Him we have much to say. The writer to Hebrews is talking about Jesus. I want us to understand that this matter of growth is not ideas and objective truths and concepts for their sake. But it has to do with our experience with Jesus. The writer to Hebrews has just unfolded a beautiful picture of Jesus as our high priest. And now he comes to the end of this discussion and he says, concerning Him we have much to say. And it's hard to explain. Now, before we get into the reason why it's hard to explain, let's just see what Hebrews is outlining for us. There are elementary teachings about Jesus of which we are to understand fully and to move beyond. And then there are other things that the writer to Hebrews would tell us and want us to understand if we had the ability to understand them. So we have the elementary and we have the advanced taking place in the book of Hebrews. I would ask the question, what are the elementary teachings about Jesus? What are the basics about Jesus? And again, we're not talking about childlike faith. We're talking about childish faith as opposed to maturity. All right? Hebrews is implying that at its very core, biblical truths pointing to Jesus demand our going deeper and deeper and deeper. And the deeper and deeper we go into Scriptures, the deeper we grow in Jesus Christ. What does it look like? The basics of Christ. Well, you know, we teach our children, Jesus loves me, this I know. And in many respects, that is some of the most simple and most profound theological truth that you could ever find. It's so simple, but it is not too simple. Packed in that imagery is profound insights of which we can never move away from. And yet, God wants us to understand more about Jesus so that His love for us can become more profound. Here in Ephesians, it talks about Christ in our hearts, that we're able to comprehend and know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. There's something about our journey with Jesus that will go deeper and deeper and deeper. And so you find a thirst and an initiative in our church today of wanting to make Christ center and focused all in all. You find that on the campus of Andrews University with my friend Japheth de Oliveira and the One Project. Question asked, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus in your life? Where is Jesus in your theology? You see it being expressed in Sabbath school lessons, in books now that you're picking up at the ABC more and more over the last couple of years, focusing and centering on Christ and where He is in the whole spectrum of our faith and our belief and our experience. It's what pastors and elders in South Africa responded to in February when I was there. And I shared with him how Jesus is the center and the focus of our prophetic understanding of Revelation. It was deeply moving to many. Last August, at our Michigan camp meeting, at our Michigan workers meeting, I shared some similar things, and it was awe-inspiring to me to see colleagues at the back of the auditorium with tears in their eyes as they were reminded again of the simple reality of Jesus being there in the center and that Jesus loved them. And I will never forget the union president in Bangladesh translating alongside of me, stopping, turning his back to his colleagues, and weeping because at that moment, at that time, hearing again that Jesus loved him was important. It was deep, and it went deep into his heart. But making Jesus center is not about ideas. It's about knowing Him more fully. And this is where Hebrews brings our thinking. That Jesus, for the Hebrew mind that was reading this, was central. But they had a shallow view of who Jesus was. They had a shallow understanding of what it meant for Jesus to love them. They had a shallow view, an understanding. And because of that, they were in danger of letting go because contemporary culture was squeezing them really hard. And so the apostle encourages them. There are elementary things about Jesus, but there are deeper things about Jesus. And if you want to hold on, you need to go deeper. Because the more you know about Jesus, the more secure you will feel in His love. This brings me now to the last part of our message concerning Him. We have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become hard of hearing or dull of hearing. It's fascinating to me to see how the writer to Hebrews starts, he launches into this incredible picture of the humanity of Jesus and the high priestly ministry of Jesus and all the confidence and assurance that we can have in Jesus Christ because He is one with us and He's one with the Father and He's the exalted, glorified Christ in heaven. And then He comes to a screeching halt. He says, you know, there's a whole lot more I could say about Jesus, but it's going to be hard to explain. Because you are lazy listeners. You're dull of hearing. I would like to think, or I will say, that there's a lot of similarities between the time of Hebrews and the time of our day. Many of us, all of us, like to be spoon-fed. We like simpler things, We don't want to think too much about some things. Especially when life is crushing in on us, it's hard for us to want to think too deeply. It's a human phenomenon. They were experiencing it in Paul's day, and we experience it today. Many of us don't want to go any deeper than we are. So the problem is not the content. The problem isn't even the way in which it's expressed, if I read the text correctly. But the issue is one of our own hearts. And whether or not we really want to grow in Jesus, and what that means for us. Because growing in Scripture and growing in Jesus are not two different things. They can be, but not from a biblical standpoint. Notice what Ellen White says in High Places. She says, "The knowledge of God is not gained without mental effort." Without mental effort. "We should diligently study the Bible, asking God for the aid of the Holy Spirit that we may understand His Word. We should take one verse and concentrate the mind. We should squeeze that verse until it speaks to us about Jesus. About His blessings. About His status in the universe. To the place where we can come and say, it is the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ. Christ becomes the total referent point because we understand the implications of who He is and what He's been doing in our behalf." And so, it takes a little bit of work on our part, but we're to advance beyond the basics towards a deeper, profound biblical truth, knowing more and more, and that as we know more and more, it will lead us into a deeper, genuine experience with Jesus Christ. And I tell you, it takes work. Some of you know that I memorized Scripture, and just this last week, I got up and I was on my walk, and my brains were so tired, I was even having a hard time praying. I said, "Lord, I don't have the energy to think on these verses anymore. I just want to walk. I just want to walk and let my mind be in neutral." But I forced myself to start reciting, and I recited four chapters of Hebrews. But it was work. And it's been work fixing every one of those verses in my mind. But my experience with Jesus, my own spiritual life, is changing and is growing because of that. It might be something different for you. I think of my wife's grandfather. Some of you have heard me say this before. He was 97 when he passed away. I was in the seminary. I was 25 years old. I was taking Hebrew. And he said to me, he says, "You know, Larry," he was 90 at the time, "I always wanted to learn Hebrew." At the age of 90, he taught himself Hebrew better than what I learned from Leona Running at seminary. And so when he died, he was reading every day Greek, Hebrew, English, Spanish, German. And I said to myself, here, your body can grow and then decline, but your soul, your spirit, your relationship with Jesus, your grasp of Scripture is the one thing that will never decline if you keep on that pathway towards eternity. And so, in closing, I ask the question, how much do you know about Jesus? How much do you want to know about Jesus? Is there a dichotomy between the information about Him and experiencing Him? There need not be. But if you open your heart and I open my heart to that grand picture of going deeper in Christ, He will do incredible things in our lives to where we will not only be accustomed to the word of righteousness, that our moral compass will be able to tell what is north and what is pure and holy and true and Adventist and biblical, but we will be able to help someone else in their journey. We will have confidence. We will have great assurance because our vision of Jesus will have become clear and clear. And no matter what the world brings our way, we will be able to stand firm in His love.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.